But yet it's very profound being on the topic that I'm going to be touching on. Amen. And I titled the message for this Sunday morning, End Time Disciplers. Tell your neighbor, man, that sounds pretty heavy. That sounds pretty deep right there. End Time Disciplers. We know that within the Great Commission, Jesus would bring the 12 that would come, the 11 would come, and then the 72, I believe, were there, the 500. There was a lot of people there after he had resurrected. And before leaving earth, he would leave instructions dealing with the Great Commission of making disciples out of all nations, making disciples. So as I think as a shepherd in making disciples, we need disciplers. We need disciplers in order to make disciples. Yes, we might start off as a disciple, but we need to continue to grow and get to a place where we become a discipler, making disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission. The very last words before Jesus ascending back to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, he would leave the Great Commission for the church. Amen. So that's what we're going to be speaking about here this morning. As we go to the book of Luke, chapter 10, if you did not bring your Bible, all scriptures being read this morning will be on the overhead screens. And if you don't have a Bible, I challenge you. I challenge you to go and purchase one, a translation that best fits you, a study Bible, that you can really understand and break down what it is that the Lord wants to convey to your life. Too many times we're more caught up in what the boss is trying to convey, what the wife is trying to convey, what the dad is trying to convey, what son or daughter is trying to convey, what the enemy's trying to convey. And too many times we can get stuck in what the enemy wants to do. We can get caught up in what the enemy wants to do if we're not careful. But I believe as we pray and we read the very instructions of God Himself, we will learn and we will grow to be able to discern, even in the midst of a storm, what Jesus is doing. And that's making his way towards us. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. The Bible reads, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Not only the 12, but now he's going to the 72 others. And sent them two by two. I want you to remember the two by two. And if there's time at the end of the service, I'll let you know why. The 72, and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Father, we thank you. We love you this beautiful morning. I just pray that you put me to the side and that your heart, your word go forth, landing upon good ground, fertile ground, that it may produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. That it may take that disciple to the place of becoming a discipler in the end times that we're living. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in Luke 10, in verses 1, the Bible says that he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. when I read that he sent them ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, I quickly thought about John the Baptist. John the Baptist that would prepare the coming of the Lord. In the book of John, chapter 1, in verse 35 through 38, the Bible reads, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples." He was not only preparing the way for the coming of the Lord, but he also had two disciples. In other words, that made John the Baptist a discipler. He had two disciples with him at this time. This is before Jesus would come along and before Jesus would have the 12. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?'" Here, John the Baptist had prepared his two disciples to know who Jesus was before his appearance. And I believe as we read scripture there, I believe John the Baptist was spending time with his two disciples talking about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus would go walking on by and John the Baptist would say, "Look." Here John the Baptist had prepared his two disciples with such high expectation of the coming of Jesus that when he finally walked by, they would no longer follow John the Baptist, but Jesus. But Jesus. I put one of my points here. True discipleship follows and leads one to having a true relationship with Jesus. True disciples follow and lead one to Jesus in having a true relationship. You see, we need not only disciples, but disciplers in the church. Men and women that have been taught by man and woman. Disciplers that have grown to be taught by the person of the Holy Spirit. Disciplers. True end time disciplers. I believe there's a great shortage of disciplers. And that's why many churches might have disciples, but that they never reach a point of maturity to be a discipler. One must know who Jesus is. One must know the very words of Jesus. One must have a praying life. To be an ambassador speaking the very words of Jesus, we must know the Word of God. And I believe there's too many people in the churches, too many disciples, and not enough disciplers. That means that people are going to church, but they're not growing. And simply one of the main reasons is because there's no disciplers to grow them, to teach them. Within the Great Commission, Jesus would tell the disciples and those that were there to make disciples out of all nations, to teach them everything that had been taught to them. But I believe a lot of times we don't allow ourselves to be educated in the things of the Lord. And we stay disciples. We remain disciples. We remain, yes, sons and daughters of the Lord. We've been radically saved. But we don't grow in the things of the Lord. And I believe within this church, as I opened up with, everything is in place for God to move as He's always wanted to move through this church. It's taken 12 years of disciple making in order to have a few good disciplers in order to teach those that are coming into the church new and fresh, excited. You stop smoking, you've stopped drinking. Things are coming to an end in your life that you couldn't do on your own. But it's very important that it don't end there. It's very important that there's somebody discipling you. That somebody's pouring into you that what has already been poured into them that they know works. Disciplers. Too many times people just remain disciples that never get to the place of making disciples, reaching out as the extensions of Jesus with the words of Jesus, with the hope of Jesus, with the testimony that Jesus can do all things. A shortage of disciples. You see, I believe in my spirit that disciples are the workers, they're the laborers of the church. I've been really meditating for many hours every day because this is one area we don't want to miss. This is one area that separates us from all the other churches. It's evangelism. And if you want to be a great evangelizer, amen, you need to become a discipler, a great discipler. Too many times we continue to evangelize and we share our testimony, what God has done. We share our past life. We share the goodness of Christ, but we really can't break down to the new believer that's listening to us who Jesus is. And I really believe right now with all my heart, the Lord is already speaking. He's looking for growth from His sons and daughters because He has a purpose for your life. And this purpose goes way beyond than coming to church. He wants to use each and every one of us because there's people out there dying right now for the lack of disciples, for the lack of laborers and workers of God. True end time disciples are needed right now. It's crucial. We could pack out this church and sing hallelujah. But if nobody's becoming a discipler and everybody's just remaining disciples, something is wrong. We just don't want spiritual growth, amen, numerical growth, but we want spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Is everybody with me right now? I love you guys. As any father would want to see his son and daughter grow up in the things of the Lord, I'm your spiritual father. Yes, I'm happy I opened up with that you've made it to church this morning. But if you really, really, really want to make me happy, I would want you to grow in the things of the Lord. I would want you to grow from the place of being a disciple, a recipient of the goodness of the Lord, to become a transmitter of the goodness of the Lord, a true end-time discipler that knows how to evangelize one and one to that person. It don't have to be a drug addict. It can be a person at your job place, a professional job place setting that you know needs Jesus, that you see on a daily basis, 8 hours a day, that they're going through it. And you kind of want to come with, you know, hey, you know, do you go to, and you want to help. But something is keeping you from discipling. True disciples follow and leads one to having a true relationship with Jesus. There's nothing more greater than somebody getting saved, pouring into their lives, and then watching them pour into somebody else's life. Nothing greater. I can see, man, that's my boy right there. That guy, he's catching it. Man, she's catching it. And to be able to see little things of me in your life when I first started, starting to take place and starting to bud within your life. Not just coming to church and allowing that to be your conviction, but to grow from a disciple unto a discipler. And Luke 10:1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He not just sent out the 72, amen, but also in verse 17, as we go in chapter 10 of verse 17, the Bible says that the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Not only the 12, but the 72 were having success. If you read a little bit further up, it says that the Father was full of joy. Jesus was joyous because he was seeing it going from the 12 to the 72. There were signs and wonders that were taking place even through the 72. Jesus did not only send them, but he also, I put here, empowered them. He empowered them. I put here, with all my heart, these words come with all my heart. I believe this very day and age that we live in, that God is looking for men and women and youth to send and appoint with power. Tell your neighbor, with power. Holy Ghost power that was working through the 12, now the 72, and now us, you and I, end time disciples, not just sent out because we have a title called Victory Outreach in who we are, but being sent out in power to get the job done. Yes, we want disciples, but I, as the shepherd of this church, 12 years down the line, am looking for disciplers that can make a difference in somebody else's life. And to can give the success, what brought success to you, unto somebody else. Three areas that I want to speak about here this Sunday morning. Three areas that make a powerful discipler. Three points I want to make here of what makes a powerful discipler. Then I have my word up there that I would like to use. Three must areas that make a powerful discipler. And the first one is, disciples need praying lives. Oh man, Pastor, why'd you have to start with that one? Why couldn't you left that one to the end as the third point? Because it's something all of us can do. But because it's something that is spiritual, the enemy will try to keep us from having a true, intimate praying life unto Jesus. In verse 2 there of chapter 10, the Bible reads, "He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" Goes on to say, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest, to me, represents prayer. I have a few points here in what prayer is able to do. If we're going to grow to become disciples and we're going to be working with the harvest, amen, we're going to have to really tie into the harvest. If we're going to be disciples, making disciples, we're going to have to really learn to love the harvest. We're going to have to learn how to love the harvest of what the Lord is speaking about. And I put here, prayer will truly allow you to be sensitive to how great the harvest is. Usually, most places, when people speak of the lost and the bound, well, I don't want nothing to do with them. And we forget that at one time, we too were lost and bound. I don't know about you, but I was way, 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 way lost and bound. Couldn't be found. Didn't want to be found. One day, I was minding my own business in prison, and Jesus stepped into my life. If he can go as far as walking the prison yard, the prison dorms, the prison tiers, and looking for disciples, I believe he's in the temple here this morning looking for disciples. We need to have praying lives, to have a sensitivity to how great the harvest is, to how great the lost and the bound are to God, to how great the lost and the bound are to you and I, and how we connect with them. Who in the heck wants to help a drug addict? Who in the heck wants to help one that hasn't taken a bath in 2 or 3 months? Who in the heck wants to help somebody that's always going to be asking for money all the time? Who in the heck is going to want to help somebody that just, all they can do is talk garbage, all they can do is create problems? They're just, man, I don't want nothing to do with it. I got my own problems already. So many churches are missing this area of being disciples, of making disciples. This ain't a command that Jesus says, make disciples out of all nations, Victory Outreach. No, it's a command to the body of Christ, to all the churches. But look at how the body of Christ, how the churches are missing what God wants done. Because there's not a sensitivity to the harvest. The purpose, the Father sent his son Jesus to the cross. A lot of people going to church. A lot of people singing hallelujah, praise Jesus. But have hardened hearts to the harvest. To the lost and bound. Some have hardened hearts to their very own brothers and sisters, flesh and blood. More or less a stranger on 26 in Burleigh. Man, I've never been there and I'm not going there. I would have to say scaredy cat. I got some white brothers I know that are from the suburb right now listening to me that were coming and copping right around that area. Because when the need got so bad that they couldn't score in the suburb, they found themselves on the north side copping being white. That's not too bright. I'm a poet, didn't even know it, because I rhyme all the time, and the Holy Ghost is here. Some of you white brothers were willing to come into the north side when you wanted to get high, but now you don't want nothing to do with the north side when it's time to get them high on the most high. Now you want to play it safe. You want to be careful. I'm saved now. I'm no longer under the influence of crack and heroin. Well, you need to learn how to get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Because that's where we're going today. You're willing to make the move for the devil, but you're thinking about it to make that same move to that same location for Jesus. You see, because when you were running with the devil, you had a purpose, and your purpose was to get high. Even crossing all rivers and lakes, and you were ready like that song, Ain't No Valley Deep. That song, that oldie? Ain't no ocean too deep, baby, I'm going to get to you. Because you had a purpose. Your purpose was to get high. Your purpose was to run with mom and dad's money to the north side. The church of today is missing it. And that's why I thank the church and I love the ministry we're in. We may not be perfect, but baby, I know we're on the mark. Baby, I know we got the backing of Jesus right now. We're willing to go to 26 in Burleigh because we know that that's our purpose in Jesus. Now, if you look at it with logic, if you look at it with logic, with education, you would say, Pastor's missing it. I don't care that, you know, 75% clapped right now. I still ain't going. That's not too smart. I'll never be caught out there dead. The church of today is missing it. It's an honor to be at 26 in Burleigh today. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's who we are. It's what we do. We go beyond what many churches don't even preach about. And if they preach it, they're surely not walking it because I've never bumped into churches since we've been out there. It should be on the front news. The churches being there in the hood, it should be in the front news. But I told you, I says, the ministry here that started off in the neighborhood is going to be answered for the suburb. Got some guys right now from the suburb in our rehab right now. Straight, I mean, from way in the suburb. The answer was on the south side in a rehab home. You would have thought it would have been somewhere deeper in the suburb. A place just platinum with gold and just everything they need to get off drugs. Oh, they don't need nothing but Jesus. The churches are missing it right now. Big. Not just a little bit. Big. And to the great commission that God has given the church. So I'm excited, man, not just to be saved, not just to be a discipler, but to really be doing what the Creator of the heavens and the earth has called us to do. Wow. But that shouldn't blow my mind that much because I was doing what the devil wanted me to do. I mean, all out. So I just went from one extreme to another. From one master to another master. But Jesus has done me right for 18 years and counting. Prayer will truly allow you to be sensitive to how great the harvest is. One of our two scriptures in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, one of our two promises, the Bible says, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. It says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. Secret places. The Bible tells us that the harvest is plentiful. And even though the harvest is plentiful, it's still like a secret to the church. It's like a secret to the church. And even though it's found in God's Word, it's still like a secret, like as if the church does not know better. Even though the harvest is in abundance. You can see trouble on the north side, south side, east side, west side. Trouble is everywhere. It's on the news. It's everywhere you look. Trouble is in your house. Treasures out of darkness. It's almost like it's still a secret that the church hasn't gotten a revelation to. And I believe that's why our ministry is currently over 33 countries right now and counting. Even though the harvest is plentiful, it still remains a secret to most churches. Wow. Another point to, if you want to become a powerful disciple dealing with prayer, is that the harvest represents those who are ready for help. Those who are ready for help. Those who are ready for to be saved. They're ready for help. The incorruptible seed of the enemy. When God created us, we were good. But then through growing up, going through high school, now going through elementary school, K-4, K-5, the enemy starts sowing into our lives with a corruptible seed. A corruptible seed that started off as a party, a good time, a fun time, girls and boys. Back in my days, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Woo! Hair down here, and I'd be in the club like I had a guitar, and I knew every note on it. It was fun. We would laugh, we would giggle, we would fight, and we would party some more. But then it ended up in bondage. It ended up in bondage. What started off as a party ended off in bondage. What started off as fun, now I was in need of a Savior. And the goodness about the Lord is that the power of the seed of the Lord. See, when we go out there, to some we will be sowing and to others we will be harvesting. I'm believing in my spirit right now that the homes are once again going to start to fill up. I went and shared with the guys the other day. The Holy Spirit came on there so strong. It was just so powerful. And I told Felipe and Lily, it's not your fault. It's my fault. Because I know the rehab like the back of my hand. And I always tell Jamie, man, I wish I would pay anything to take off my title as a pastor and to become a director in the end times of a rehab home. Because I know I'm good at it. Something I would be able to work with a man all day. I know I'm good at it. And I went there without a Bible. I went there to prayer. Guess what? There was no prayer taking place. The one that greeted me was the dog, the bulldog, called Benji. I said, where's everybody at, Benji? He goes, roof, they're asleep. They're asleep, roof. Benji told me the dog said they should have been out here 20 minutes ago. And when I would come in here, I wanted to pull out my sword and start chopping. I says, no, it's my fault. So many things going on right now. I'm spread all over the place. I need disciples. Disciples. I need disciples right now. In other words, I need men and women here in the church to grow. Because I know what the power of the seed is able to do when it hits in a man's life, in a woman's life. And even though the corruptible seed of the enemy that the Bible speaks about started off as a party, ended up in bondage, ended up in prison, I needed a Savior. But the power of God's Word is that we can go into that same place that is riddled with drugs, gang affiliation, and all the above, prostitution, alcoholism, and all that. We can come with the incorruptible seed of the Lord and start sowing, and start sowing. To some we will be sowing, the Lord showed me last night. And to some we will be reaping and taking back to the rehabs. But the power of God's Word is able to counter the work of the enemy that's been at play in a man's life for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 20 years of prison. When God's Word goes in, it's able to conquer. No matter what the enemy has done in that individual's life. I'm convinced here this day that it can be done. But it's going to have to be done in the power of God. And in order to operate, to be sent in the power of God, there's going to have to be prayer within our lives. A sensitivity to work with the lost and the bound. I put here, these are the points that the Lord gave me. I'm amazed I put here. How the greatest thing can take place within a life, within our lives, at our lowest point. How salvation takes place in an individual's life at their lowest point, where men and women have, many have given their lives to the Lord at this altar, at the altar on 25th and National. How the greatest thing can take place in one's lowest time. It's called salvation. But I want you all to experience not only salvation, I want you to get to a place of becoming a discipler, because the second greatest thing that you'll ever experience here on this earth is being the one that God is using to bring salvation to a person that is at their lowest, at lowest of lowest times. Being used of God to bring on salvation, not just being saved, but being the man, the woman, the youth member that the Lord uses to bring salvation. That takes growth. That takes having a praying life. Being able to save someone represents taking them from the destination of hell to heaven. Allowing that man to become a true father. Allowing that man to become a true son. A true discipler. When I look as a true man of God and a true woman of God, I think of a true discipler, not a true disciple. We need to see the greatness of the harvest. That was so great to the Father that He would send His Son Jesus for the lost and the bound. We ask ourselves, if Jesus was here with us right now, and He is, but in person, and He had His choice to go to the suburb or to 26 in Burleigh, where do you think He would choose to go to? Then He would go to the suburb. Wow. The harvest represents souls. And in order to continue to reap souls, I put here, we need to take care of our own souls, our own lives. Real simple stuff, but it's from God. Too many times we get church busy, ministry busy, but we're not praying, we're not doing our spiritual acts, we're not spiritually exercising. And we can get to the place of going through the motions without power. Without power. We're faithful, we'll go, but without power. In the Martha and Mary story, I'm not going to share on it, but Jesus came to their house. Two sisters, Martha and Mary. One all of a sudden said, "Oh my God, it's Jesus." Martha starts cleaning the house. The house was dirty. How many had done the 5-minute cleanup when you get somebody knocking at the door uninvited, where they don't let you know they're coming over, amen? Yeah, what? Wait a minute. Okay, I'll be right there. And you're doing the, what I call the 5-minute cleanup. Then you get to the door real quick. "Hey, I haven't seen you. Come on in. Your toilet finally got clean. You've been looking at it for I don't know how long. And all of a sudden it got scrubbed down because there was guests in the house. And Martha was cleaning the house, and all Mary could do, she went and she fell at the feet of Jesus. And Martha starts griping and complaining and telling Jesus, "Tell her to do something." And Jesus, paraphrasing, would say that she has chosen the greater thing. She has chosen the greater thing to be with me. And too many times we can get busy and we can forget, if we want to become disciples, we got to have prayer in our lives. If we want to remain disciples, we need prayer in our lives. The second point I want to speak about, second area that I want to speak about that makes a powerful discipler, is disciplers expect trouble and persecution. This is one that takes many out of the equation quick. "Yeah, Pastor, I'll go to 26 in Berlin. Let me kill my husband first." True disciples know that there's going to be trouble, that there's going to be persecution. We don't live in a perfect world. The church will never be perfect. Thank be to the Lord, we know who is perfect and who's with us and goes with us. True disciples expect trouble and persecution. So when it comes, you're not taken off guard. In Luke 10:3, the Bible reads, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Come on. You know, in that equation, there's going to be some problems. But Pastor, you mean 26 in Burleigh? Or is that the Burleigh in the suburb? No, that's 26 in Burleigh on the north side. Jesus would be sending us out as lambs amongst wolves. In verse 16, the Bible says, there's times that we're going to be rejected. Many don't like being rejected, especially when you're trying to do something nice for somebody. 10:16 says, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects me, he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Was Jesus rejected? Yes, he was, by his very own. He was rejected all the way to the cross. Do you not think the Father knew, as he was sending his Son from a place called heaven to a place called earth? Amen. The precious lamb amongst wolves. Did Jesus not have problems? Was he not persecuted? Was he not rejected? All the above. As disciples, a lot of times we get nervous in speaking to somebody. They might look at you, man, get up out of here with that stuff. And they throw the flyer up in the air and they keep on walking, right? As we're going to be rejected. But the one thing I love about the north side, they really, really receive. And Jesus in these portions of Scripture was talking, hey, when they don't receive it, shake it off and get to the next spot. Get to the next spot. As disciples of Jesus, we've been given power. Verse 19 says, of chapter 10 of Luke, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, we're not speaking about the 12 right now. We're speaking about the 72. We're speaking about you and me. You and I. Have you felt the power of Jesus work through you lately? Do you even know what I'm speaking about when I say the power of God? Yes, we're going to have problems and trials and all that stuff. But Jesus, as we go in as lambs to a place of wolves, he's given us power. He's given us authority. As lambs amongst wolves, we must be in obedience. We must be in obedience. If you want to get from a place of being saved as a disciple and to become to the place of a discipler to work with others effectively in the power of God, you're going to have to walk in obedience. You just can't do it anyway and be anointed of God. There needs to be an obedience. Leviticus chapter 26, 3 and 9 says, this is when we're in obedience, what takes place. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid in the north side. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. Here, the favor of God comes with power, comes with protection. But look what takes place in Isaiah chapter 30, 15 through 17. This is when you're in disobedience. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. Now, instead of us chasing the enemy, now we're being chased, amen? Therefore you will flee, you said. We will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At that threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. There's momentum through obedience, and there's momentum through disobedience. Today I have the momentum of God on my side. Even though the odds are against me in the natural, the Bible tells me that there's more of us than there is of them. That's in the spiritual realm. I have a momentum. I'm able to do great things, much greater than I would ever be able to accomplish in my natural ability. But with the favor of God, there's a momentum in my life that allows me to go way beyond my natural abilities. Contrary, on the other side, when I was lost and bound, and I was running with the enemy, I didn't have the momentum. The momentum was to run with the enemy, to be cursed, to OD, to die, to go to prison, lose my family, to have no direction, no purpose. The odds in that place of bondage could not be broken. It took Jesus to step in. We need to ask ourselves, is my momentum this morning because of obedience or disobedience? What type of a momentum is taking place within my life? The third point and the final point, getting close to coming to an end. Is that what makes a powerful discipler? The third point is true disciplers know Jesus is their source. True disciplers know that Jesus is their source. In Luke 10:4, the Bible reads, "Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Let's go to Luke 9:3. That was for the 72. Scripture we already read. Now in Luke 9:3, a little bit before that, this is him speaking to the 12. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and no extra tunic." Here, Jesus would give the same instructions to the 12 that he would give to the 72. I put here, "I thank the Lord that my family and I were sent out to Milwaukee as lambs amongst wolves." Not talking about you guys. "With no money." No money. No money makes no sense. We came by faith, empowered by the calling that the Lord had placed upon our lives. When anybody goes on a trip, even if it's around the corner to the Dales, you better go with money. We came from 2,500 miles away, give or take, from California, all the way to Milwaukee, an unknown land, with no money, as pastors. The title of a pastor wasn't too good back then. I thank the Lord that we were sent out to Milwaukee with no money. I put here, "I know our foundation is Christ. I know Jesus was and is our provider. I know that this work here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee is of God, hands down. The same instructions he gave to the 12, the 72 were given to my wife and I and little kids coming to this city. Go make it happen. Just flow. Get in the rider. See, I already knew how to do those three things, so I had no problem just in flowing. I had no problem as Jesus my source. I had no problem from getting in the van to getting in a rider, amen, truck, and coming over here. It sounds ridiculous. It don't make sense. But look what the Lord has done. When he is your provider and you put him first amongst any job. So many times my wife came so close and getting a full-time job because we weren't walking on water. We were scuba diving. We were way underwater. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. Well, how are we going to do it? I don't know, but God knows. And right now, we're still scuba diving underwater. It allows us to stay fresh on the cutting edge, trusting on God. But my friend, there's going to come a time where millions are going to be flowing through this sanctuary. And you're going to be the witnesses to what I said a long time ago. You're going to see it just as much as you see the building you're sitting in and the AC air conditioned and listening to the word of God going off of work that somebody else has done. I didn't come here acting like a pastor. I came here being a discipler, a director of a rehab. Washing cars. Man, I can't wait till the book comes out. I'm still trying to get a few more chapters in there. Every day something happens. Say, man, good thing I didn't write my book yet because that's going to be in the book. Who would trust in a car wash to start your ministry off? God is in control right now. Of my very voice, of the very words that I'm using. It's not me. You're looking at an ex-heroin addict, junkie, a no good for nothing. A treasure that came out of darkness through a ministry called Victory Outreach. I was a nobody. Nobody would ever put a nickel my way and ever thinking I would become someone. But God, being sovereign, being my source, would say, just give me those odds, and I'm going to tweak those odds real nice, real tough, for all will know I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same God is here with us right now. Too many times we get caught up on the finances. And we forget that the blesser is still moving and operating and maybe going another agno, another direction. He wants to do it another way instead of through money. And too many of you are waiting for money to come to do what you got to do for Jesus. And here the instructions would come to the 12 and the 72 just the same. Take nothing. Ah, the good news, if the rally, I wish the rally was today, but we're going to rally up in cars and we're going to go out there and pray. But let's say we were going, what do we take on a rally? Well, I'll tell you right now what we take on a rally. We take a sound system. We take some hot dogs. Amen. We take some been there, done that people. And most of all, and most importantly, we take Jesus. Who would ever think taking that would bring salvation, would build the church, would make disciples and disciples? Who would ever think that? Of people like you and I, some hot dogs and a stereo would bring salvation. God is our source, and He needs to become your source, your personal source. God needs to become your source that you can count on, not only on the good times, but most importantly, in the bad times, in the hard times. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go there. I'm going there. I'm going there. Tell your neighbor the pastor's going there. Matthew chapter 18. And closing. I promise. Too many times we're not sensitive to the harvest because we're all caught up in ourselves and what we got to do. Hey, Pastor, man, I got to take care of business, man. Yeah, okay, go take care of business, bro. Hey, Pastor, I got to take care of business. Go take care of business then. You got to make Jesus your business. Or your business, once again, that you'll be taking care of will be for the devil. Matthew 18, I shared this on Friday. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Real familiar portions of Scripture. Says, again, I tell you that if two of you, remember I told you, remember the word two? I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. I was kind of bummed out on Friday night prayer watch, international prayer watch, where all Victor Outreach was praying. And the numbers weren't where I would have wanted them to be. We prayed from 9 to 12 to midnight. And I told the people that were here, I said, I am so happy and blessed by this verse, these couple of verses here. I focus in on the word agree. I put on my notes for Friday. It is a word of maturity to the believer. Whether we have at times have different opinions, we all have opinions. But when we come together and agree in what Jesus says, when we agree in what Jesus says. When we agree in what it takes to make a true discipler of the end times, prayer, knowing that there's going to be hard times, and allowing the Lord to be our source, you're going to need these three areas within your life in order to be an end time discipler and remain an end time discipler that is able to make disciples under any and every circumstance. Verse 19, it says, where two of you agree about anything. Agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Moving quickly, I would say that it tells me that by ourselves, we can only accomplish so much. But it goes on to say, in me, it tells me that by just agreeing with one person to what Jesus says, it then allows us to accomplish any and everything, including making disciples, including growing to become a discipler. When we simply agree and we come together and we agree with one person, marriages, listen to me. Marriages that are on the rocks, If you come together and you pray with your wife or your husband that you really don't want to talk about, but I believe it's worth coming together and agreeing what you want for the Lord to do in your marriage. The Bible says where two agree. It don't say where two pastors agree to where two disciples agree. It just simply says where two agree. That is the power of God's word. When we follow God's small but yet very powerful, important instructions, when we agree to what Jesus says and we come in agreement with the drug addict today on 26 and Burleigh for his salvation, that anything and everything is possible. That's what Jesus says he's able to do when two come in agreement. Some of you got a revelation right now for your marriage, but you're saying, I still ain't talking to her. I don't care. I still ain't talking to him. I shared that the Lord didn't say where 1,000 come together in agreement, anything and everything will be possible. He's simply saying where 2 agree. And what I have for their lives, it shall be done. The power, once again, of God's word. What God's word is able to do when we agree with simply one person. I know that it tickled the Lord that on that Friday night that there was thousands upon thousands of treasures out of darkness coming in agreement in prayer at the same hour and time all across the world. But too many times we have our own opinions because we don't have a praying life. Because we still can't, because we don't have a praying life, we still can't deal with problems. When persecution comes our way, and because we don't have a praying life and we can't deal with problems, well then of course, God ain't our source. I am. I'm going to take care of this the old-fashioned way. That's what I'll do. I'll take care of this the OG way. Teach him a lesson, we'll teach her a lesson. And the enemy just having so much fun. I put here in a note, I was speaking to Sister Sandra. And I put here, two is able to bring the same results. When two agree in what the Lord says, is able to bring the same results that 10,000 members will bring. Wow. That Friday night, the revelation was so clear, we didn't need the place packed out in order for God to do anything and everything that He wanted to do. You can get the same results from two that you can from 10,000 when you agree with God's word. I believe the Lord's making it real simple. But too many times, we're hearers of the word, but we're not doers. We don't get that praying life. We can't deal good with problems. And we never allow Him to be the source. We never allow Him to be the true source of our lives and control of our lives. Amos 3:3, do you got it? Amos 3:3, can you get it? Power of God's word. When we follow it, when we're in obedience, we two come together and then something comes great from that two right there. Thousands are lined up and connected to those two that agreed with whatever it was that will be able to continue to go forth and reach the people they were called to reach. The book of Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? I don't walk by my wife. I agree to walk by my wife. And sometimes I don't want to be by her. And sometimes she gets me mad. And sometimes I get her mad. But man, we let five, ten seconds go by, and we're walking once again side by side because we agree with what God's word says, that the two have now become one. And as long as we agree, God's going to continue to grow us, to work in us, to work through us, that we may remain disciples and continue to grow. But man, to agree sometimes, man, will always call to humble yourself. It's pride that keeps us from agreeing. Even though your breakthrough is sure to come, you allow pride to stop the everything that God wants to do, not only in your life, but through your life, as the worship team makes their way, please. Back to the opening scripture. Put it on the opening scripture, please, Chris. Go back to opening scripture. Check what the Lord did here. The Bible says, after this, remember I told you, remember the two by two? After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him. Why did he send them two by two? My revelation says that all you need is two to agree for the Lord to do anything and everything. He sent them two by two ahead of him where he was about to go. You see, the Lord is sending us before him this day to 26 in Burley, that we may testify the weather's good enough out there. And we may talk about what Jesus is doing and what he's done in our lives. So when Jesus comes to the place and he presents himself to the lost and the bound, they will already be ready as the two disciples of John the Baptist were. When they saw Jesus, the Bible says, they took off and they followed him. We are to go before the Lord. And where we go, the Lord is going. He wants us to make his name be made known. What he's able to do in a man's life, what he's able to do in a woman's life. So when the Holy Spirit comes and Jesus shows up, and he starts stirring their heart as you're ministering of his greatness, all of a sudden, a hardened heart becomes softened to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. True end time disciples. Whatever the song is. Can you say this day that you are a discipler, one that knows how to work with people,